name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is March 29th, year 2009, Passion Sunday. Today we're going to talk about a few different topics. We're going to be reading mostly from our Father Francis of Assisi, one of our main generals in Mary's little army. Father Francis of Assisi. We're going to read from his own writings today, mostly. But one part of what we're going to be reading from is where he himself refers to nominal Catholics, and at the same time, we just read in today's gospel where Jesus is referring to nominal Jews. And what we mean by that, people who call themselves Catholic, but they don't have the faith. They don't profess it, or they don't believe in it, or they're occult heretics, and are denying one or more dogmas in their heart. Or denying dogmas, literally, outwardly, but still calling themselves Catholic. We read about occult heretics in particular, they're not all occult heretics. Sometimes, and nowadays we know it, nominal Catholics today are actually outwardly notorious heretics, but no one's denouncing them. And they're still walking around and saying, hey, guess what, I'm Catholic. I'm submissive to the papacy. They profess a few dogmas, but they hold on to heresies. Now remember, it only takes one heresy to knock you out of the church. So you can call yourself Catholic till your kingdom come. You can even go to a Catholic church, if there is a Catholic church, with a Catholic priest, and even if you have a Catholic pope, and say you're submitting to him. And you go there every Sunday, and you go to confession on Saturday, but if you're holding one heresy, you ain't Catholic, pal. You're what we call a nominal Catholic. Jesus mentions this in Mark 7:6. Jesus says, these people honor me with their lips, and their hearts are far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and precepts of men. We read about occult heretics in Psalm 77:36-37. And they loved him with their mouth, and with their tongue they lied unto him. But their heart was not right with him, nor were they counted faithful in his covenant. They were not faithful. They said they were faithful Jews. This is the Jews he's referring to. They're saying, we worship the true God. We practice true Judaism. We go to the temple and offer the sacrifices. We do all these things. And he says, but they were liars, because with their tongues they lied unto him. He says their heart, though, was not right, and they weren't counted faithful in his covenant. They were nominal Jews. They were not, but they professed themselves to be true Jews. What did Jesus say to the Jews in today's gospel reading? What did Jesus say to those Jews in John, the infamous for the Jews, John chapter 8? The Jews hate this chapter. They hate all the Gospels, but this is one of the ones they hate the most. Because it's where Jesus Christ told them in John 44-45 that if God were your Father, you would love me. But you are not from God. That's why you don't love me. That's why you don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Messiah. Because you are of your father, the devil. Of your father, the devil. Not of God. God was not their father, but they said God was their father. They said they were practicing Judaism. Just like today, all these nominal Catholics say, I'm Catholic. I'm a Roman Catholic. I believe in the papacy. I believe in the holy sacrifice and the mass and a few dogmas. But you don't hold the whole package. Most of them out there, they're not even called heretics anymore. They're not ashamed to hide it even. They're out there professing one or more heresies. Look what Jesus said in the gospel today. Look what he said to these Jews when Jesus is talking to these Jews who said, we're faithful Jews. That's like Jesus today talking to these nominal Catholics who are saying, we're faithful Catholics. Let's read it from the gospel reading, which is from John 8:46-59, but we're going to quote in the middle of this where Jesus is talking to the Jews. He says, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever. That's what Jesus says. The Jews therefore said, now we know that thou hast the devil. They're saying Jesus has the devil, not them, you notice? God Almighty himself, after all the miracles and the good things he did, they're calling Jesus a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets are dead. They ought to know, they killed him. They killed him. Remember Matthew 23, our Lord said, what should the prophets have you Jews not killed? In any period of time during the Old Covenant era, there's only been a very small few amount of Jews that were faithful, and it's the same with Catholics in the New Covenant era. It ain't no different. Now, but what they misunderstood here, and what they did not know, that these Jews and Abraham truly was not dead. Jesus says, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who was dead? Abraham wasn't dead. Not dead, dead. He wasn't in the hell of the damned. He was in Abraham's bosom with the promise of eternal life, waiting to be liberated and brought up to heaven. Abraham, was Elias dead? Dead, dead. Dead, dead means in the hell of the damned. in this case. They were dead as far as their body was concerned, but they were saved. The promise was waiting for them to be liberated from. They were in a place of joy and peace, Abraham's bosom. That's where Abraham was. That's where Elias was. That's where Moses was. On Mount Tabor in the Transfiguration. Who appeared? Moses and Elias. Come here, you Jews. I want you to see Moses, who you said is that. He's coming from. And that was not a place of damnation. That was a place where they were destined for eternal life. All right. So this is the, now you got to realize, too, there's a whole bunch of Jews here that didn't believe in the resurrection either. They were Sadducees, but even the Pharisees. They weren't believing what Jesus is saying here, that they believed maybe the resurrection is going to take place later on, these people. But they had no, they really didn't have reason to believe that, because look what happened when Samuel came up from Abraham's bosom. They knew about Abraham's bosom. They knew they're lying. Right? Here's the points we want to make. He says, whom dost thou makest thyself? And Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. You say that he's your God, and you have not known him. You have not known him. These nominal Catholics, I worship the Catholic God, I worship the Holy Trinity. What does Jesus say to them? You have not known the Holy Trinity. You have not known the true Jesus Christ. You have not known the Catholic Christ, because you're denying one or more dogmas. And the minute you start denying dogmas, you're outside the Catholic Church, you're no longer a Catholic, and you're worshiping a false Christ. By holding on to your heresy, or multiple heresies. How could you say you know Christ, the Catholic Christ, when you say that the Muslims worship the true God, or that Talmudic Jews worship the true God, who explicitly denied Christ? Oh, you have not known me. And Jesus says, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like you, a liar. He's calling him a liar. These are nominal Jews, just like your nominal Catholics. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad. And he saw it from Abraham's bosom. And he also saw it in prophecy when he was alive on earth with his body, even foretelling the coming of Christ. But it has a double meaning. And he also saw it from Abraham's bosom. Do you think that Moses and Elias came back to Abraham's bosom and didn't say nothing? They knew anyway before that. There's reports that go back and forth. They see what's going on earth from Abraham's bosom. They are not ignorant of what goes on earth. And the point is, you can just picture Moses and Elias returning and go, we just saw Christ. We just saw Christ. He's getting ready to undergo his passion, and he's going to liberate us from Abraham's bosom and bring us upon the face of the earth and baptize us and feed us his precious body, blood, soul, and divinity, and then bring us up to heaven. Our liberation is near. So you stupid Jews, Abraham wasn't dead. But you guys were dead and are now eternally dead and all in hell. These Jews had denied Christ. If they didn't repent and accept Christ before they died, and most of them didn't, only 10% accepted Christ, they're in hell for all eternity. You guys are dead for all eternity. Dead in the hell of the damned. Because you didn't believe Jesus. But look what he's saying here. These are Jews that thought they had the faith. This is what we're talking about with occult heretics and even notorious heretics like Gibbons and Ireland and all these guys who said they were Catholic. And these guys were notorious heretics. Let's look at here. What Jesus says in John 8:19, he says, they said therefore to him, where is thy father? And Jesus answered, neither me do you know, nor my father. For if you did know me, perhaps you'd know my father also. They were nominal. They didn't really believe in Jesus. How do you like that, apostate Father Brian Harrison, who said that these Jews worship the true God? Jesus said you don't know the Father. You can pay him lip service all you want, but it's not the true Father. I could say I know William Norris, but then I could also say a lot of things about you that it's not you at all. That instead of being born in Chicago, you were born in California. You could say he's a Buddhist. I could say a lot of things about Will Norris, but if it's not true, I'm not talking about the true Will Norris. I could say that I believe in the Catholic God all I want. But if you're not holding all those dogmas, you have not known me because you have not accepted the truths that I have taught you. If you say that the Muslims worship the true God and the Talmudic Jews worship the true God, when they deny the Holy Trinity, when they deny the Incarnation, when they deny that Jesus is God and man, have you known the true God? You can tell me all you want that you believe in Jesus and that you believe in the Holy Trinity. You do not know the true Holy Trinity. Your Holy Trinity is a liar. It's a false Holy Trinity. It's a false Jesus that is telling you that Muslims who explicitly deny Him and Talmudic Jews actually believe in Him. Do you think I was born yesterday? Do you think even a kid 7 years old will pop you right in your eyes? He'll bust your nose with his little hand if God gives him the power enough to do it. That you're going to tell me such nonsense as that. Here's Jesus telling these Jews that you don't know the Father. You don't know Him. That is one of the biggest heresies and blasphemies and apostasies we're hearing today. When you tell me people that don't believe in the Holy Trinity or worshiping the true God, be ready for the wrath that's going to come down upon you when God destroys you off the face of the earth. It may happen tomorrow if you die, Mr. Father Brian Harrison. And as soon as you die, you're going to immediately know you're going to be damned to the deepest pits of hell. Guaranteed. You know, and you deserve what you get. You deserve the reign of the Antichrist. You deserve to be dominated by this bastard that's going to rule almost the whole world. You deserve to be robbed, raped, pillaged, abandoned, abused. Because that's who you put your faith in. Here's Jesus telling these Jews in His day, you do not know the Father because you do not believe in Me. Every faithful Jew look forward and preach for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Simeon a prophet, a humble old man and a faithful prophet, was told that he would not die until he sees the Messiah. And he saw Him in his hands and he believed, even before he did any miracles. Even before he preached. Even before he showed forth all these good fruits, because Simeon the prophet had faith. Abraham had faith. David had faith. The prophets had faith. And Jesus said to these unbelieving Jews, and which of the prophets have you not killed? Have you not rebelled against Moses, who was a figure of Christ, the Savior of that time? Liberating God's chosen people, massive miracles, and all of a sudden, from one day to the next, they deny Moses and start rebelling against Him. And Moses could say, like Jesus said, what have I done to harm you? What untruths have I told you? Have I lied to you? Have I told you to commit sins of immorality? Have I not fostered holiness and goodness? And the people I rebelled against them were nominal Jews, bastard Jews. We've had them in the camp with us and we kicked them out. We've had schisms here, two or three, four schisms, and we purified the camp. It's going to happen to the end. Nothing has changed. And you look at these people that went out from amongst us who are not of us. They're bastards. They're faithless. They're not on fire with the love of God. Their lives are horrible. They're immoral, and they're very lukewarm, if not even worse than that. Have things changed? No. So Jesus can come down, as we're saying today, with you nominal Catholics. You can say you're Catholic till you're blue in the face. If you hold one heresy, you're not. And if you're an occult heretic, we will not know that, but God knows it. You're not Catholic, and you're not in the church. And we had a lot of cult heretics early. Now, there's no need to have a cult heretic. You want to know why? Because no one's ashamed to speak their heresies out in public. They're blasting them all over the place. Every one of these nominal Catholics is holding on to one or more heresies. And not just one, believe me, it's more than one. When they deny the salvation dogma. When they say that you can get to heaven without being a Catholic and inside the Catholic Church. A true Catholic professing our dogmas, submission to the Roman Pontiff. People like a Talmudic Jew will come out and tell us. Who fights against Christ, who hates Christ, who persecutes Catholics, could actually be a Catholic and not even know it. Implicitly be in the church and not even know it and be saved. This stinks to the high heavens. It's what that bastard Father Fahy said. It's what even Alphonsus de Liguori said. It's possible, and it's what Lugo said. I tell you something, these guys are in the deepest pits of hell. And if you want to go and follow them in their beliefs, that's where you're heading. I have no sympathy for you. I got no pity for you until you get rid of your heresies. And you better get rid of them quick. You deserve everything you're getting in this world. And all these people that are holding on to these heresies are afraid of the spirit of martyrdom, have fell in love with the world, the luxuries of the world, and all the vanities of the world. They bit the bullet of the American dream. Everybody, to be good in this world and to be accepted in the eyes of this world, you have to have be prosperous, you have to be rich or at least wealthy, you have to have a decent home, a couple cars, you got to have these certain things. You have to have degrees in universities or you're a bum. Like I used to say to my family members, they all push this, nominal Catholics. I says, well then according to you, Jesus was a bum. He was the biggest loser of all times because he was born in poverty and he lived in poverty. He lived a simple life in poverty. God Himself gave us the example. I don't even want to tell the guy's name, but just a couple of weeks ago, we had some idiot email me. You can't believe what's going on here. I think it was my SSP 10 video I gave. And one of his big complaints was, hey, Richard, he says, you're looking all kinds of shabby. He says, your shirt looks baggy under your arms. You're not looking as neat as you used to. And you seem to be like getting very angry. He says, as opposed to your earlier videos. And I went, well, first of all, you didn't look at all my earlier videos then. Because I'm no less angry than I was when I gave the Second Coming of Jesus Christ speech. Take a look at that one. So some sermons, yes, I'm more angry than others because it depends on what I'm talking about, right? But his big thing was I looked shabby, that my shirt was hanging underneath. Why don't you put on a nice shirt and clean yourself up a little bit? That's the American dream. And then Brother Nicholas Worth was reading. He says, what about St. John the Baptist? Our Lord said, what did you go out in the desert to see? A man clothed in glorious robes? A man that was all luxurious? No, no. He was in a camel skin hair. He had rough clothes on. And he was living in the desert. And according to them, according to this guy that wrote, he's a bum. John the Baptist would have been a bum according to the American dream. Jesus would have been a bum. Can you imagine this guy saying, I have to read the letter for you guys to believe what he said. I couldn't believe it. His big complaint was my shirt was baggy. And it's not fitting me the way I used to. He says, you're dressing a little more sloppily. You ought to see me during the week. I only take one shower during the week. St. Anthony in the desert never took a shower his whole life. He died with dirt embedded on him. St. Anthony in the desert. Great miracles. St. John the Baptist lived in the desert. What did you go out to see? A man in luxury and in a palace? The American dream with the suit and the tie and the hair combed on the side? And real neat? Oh, then we'll accept this guy. That's the abomination. That's vanity. That is vanity. That is pride. That is what our Lord warns against. All these traditionalists, by the way, are infected with this. You can't even go into the chapel unless you have a suit coat and a tie like a good American. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. You've got to be a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Mason. These little fairy, effeminate fairy birds. I always said it when I was in Father Wickham's chapel. I had this little old lady I used to give money in Newark, New Jersey. I forget her name now. Maybe it'll come back to me. And I try to help her and witness to her. And I said, maybe one day if she comes along enough, I'll bring her to Father Wickham's chapel. Poor and raggy. But I know they would have never. When I went into this chapel the first time, I had no suit coat. So the first thing they said is, you better put a suit coat on. So they have him in the back. So I put this baggy looking stupid suit coat on. So I can look like a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, right? I'd go up there with my car from Newark, New Jersey, which was two-toned. It was a junky car. They wouldn't even park near my car. They wouldn't even go near it. Because they had all their nice fancy cars. And they would never talk to you. Oh, I tell you, there's a big prejudice against Italians. There's prejudices against the Spanish. I've seen them. I've lived with them. I didn't live with them. I lived with the Italians, but I lived around them. They were in the suburbs. And when I would go out and see these people, I said, these people are monsters. Really? Absolutely. Because you have to fit that American dream. That's the dream. You have to have the $250,000 home, $30,000 car, go on two vacations a year, your kids got to be all educated, and then you're successful. Whoa, is this totally against the spirit of poverty? This is the love of the world that we're talking about here. And this is the way these people are. So this guy's main complaint to me was, you're looking a little shabby. Well, you probably didn't look at all my past videos, pal, because I don't always look so neat in every one of them. Now, maybe some I look a little neater. Some I got my shabby shirt on, you know. And what does it say about the two witnesses anyway? They're going to prophesy in sackcloth and ash. A potato sack, you dummy. This is how stupid these people are. They're beyond my mind's comprehension. I'm one of these guys who we got a picture of somebody who he knows, and a guy, you know, same American dream, coat on, bow tie, all that, you know. You know, hi there, you know, I'm Mr. White Anglo-Saxon Protestant, here I'm your preacher. That's why they don't like people with beards today, neither. You know why they don't like men with beards today? Because women want to look like men, and they can't grow beards. All right? Think of, they are really against beards. They want those Arabs over there to get them beards off. And if you want to insult the Arab, they shave his beard. Because because the women want to look like men, and that's one thing they can't do is grow a beard. Now they go out and buy a false beard and paste it on them with glue, but it'll look kind of weird, you know. They might be able to, maybe try that, but it'll look kind of weird. I call them pretty boy Nelsons. They all want to look like, they all came out of a mold machine. These are nominal Catholics. These are worldly people. These are not Catholics. These are Americanists. Americanists. It's a religion. It's a religion in all itself. Okay? So here our Lord is in here telling us that there's many people that profess to believe in Him, just like in His days, and they know not the Father. Right? Now, let's see what our Father Francis of Assisi says before anybody can be allowed in his order. Now, this has to do with also, if that's the case and we know that there's many people that are really heretics, and this is something that people always have to do anyway, it's the basic obligation of the Catholic faith, which is to find out what a person believes in before you pray with him or before you consider him Catholic. And that means if he is Catholic, I want a profession of faith. If he says he's Catholic, I want to know what you believe in point by point. And if you've been in communion with heretics, you need to take a specific abjuration. Sorry, pal, if you don't do that, I don't consider you, you're not with me. If you don't do that, you're not Catholic. If I know you've been in a non-Catholic church. But if I don't know who you are at all, and you don't profess the faith to me, you're still not Catholic because you reneged your obligation to profess the Catholic faith, which when you're demanded to do it, if you do not do it, you implicitly deny the faith. This is a basic dogma. This is our very basic core of the Catholic life. To find out what people believe in. That obligation means that all Catholics must condemn all heresies and must denounce all heretics whenever these facts become known to them. And if they, and instead of condemning a heresy, they embrace it, they're a heretic. And instead of denouncing a heretic when they should, they become guilty of the sin of the heretic, and they're a heretic. Now we're going to read all these people that always complain to us about how uncharitable we are because we inquire. Because we ask people what they believe in. Because when people commit mortal sins and are obstinate, we kick them out when they're obstinate. And when they don't want to listen, they say that's uncharitable. That's the basic Catholic life. St. Paul says that in Romans 16:17-18. We beseech you, brethren, to mark those who make dissensions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. Avoid them. I don't care if it's Alphonsus Liguori you think is great. He comes out and tells me it's possible during the new covenant era that you can be saved without believing in Jesus Christ and the incarnation and the Holy Trinity. I avoid you. And Father Francis, who everybody always miscasts today, they portray him as some effeminate hippie. Far from that was he. Far from that was he. All these people abuse the word mercy and they throw God's justice out the door. As if there's no more punishments. There's no more admonishments. We can no longer admonish and we can no longer... Well, that's the very core of our obligation to profess the faith. Like even St. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:4-5, he says, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, and entreat. For a time shall come when men shall not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, they shall heap on themselves teachers, having itching ears, having turned away from the truth and being turned on to fables. We read St. Paul saying in 2 Corinthians 13:5, try your own selves if you be of the faith, lest perhaps you be reprobates. If we get a suspicion any one of the brothers is holding on to heresy, we're going to ask you a question. And I want the right answer. And if I don't get the right answer, and it involves heretical stuff, you're a heretic. If I ask you, do Muslims worship the true God, and you say yes, you're not only a heretic, you're an apostate. Don't come near me. You're done for. I talk no longer with you till you get over that heresy. All right? Now let's watch what Father Francis says is required before anybody can be led in his order. All right, now we're going to read the works of the seraphic St. Francis of Assisi, his own words, chapter 19, page 44. And he says that all the brethren must be true Catholics. Let all the brethren be Catholics and live and speak in a Catholic manner. And if anyone should err from the Catholic faith and morals, in word or in deed, and will not amend, let him be altogether expelled from our fraternity. There you go. We just had a big schism here recently. People are saying, oh, you're uncharitable for expelling these people. Because they were immoral, grievously, obstinate. They left themselves anyway. It wasn't a matter of expelling them. We didn't even have to go that far. They actually left and committed all kinds of calumnies and detractions. But here Francis is saying, if anybody comes in amongst us and he doesn't hold the Catholic faith, expel him. Expel him. Look what he says here on page 80. It's the rule of the brothers and sisters of the third order of St. Francis called the Order of Penance. Chapter 1, of the manner of examining those who wish to enter the order. If any wish to embrace this manner of life and are to be admitted, they shall before their acceptance or admission be subjected to a close examination concerning the Catholic faith. And Brother Phil McCabe will be my witness on this one. Every time we try to talk to people and find out what they believed, and what do they tell you? I don't got to tell you what I believe in. Oh, yes, you do. And what are you ashamed of? What did our Lord say in Mark 8, 34 or 38? It's 38. He was ashamed of me and my words and his sinful and adulterous generation. The Son of Man shall be ashamed of him. When you don't profess the Catholic faith and tell people what you believe in, that's a denial of what you believe. Here he's saying, Francis, before they come in, that you may make a close examination concerning the Catholic faith and their obedience to the Roman Church. And if they sincerely profess and truly believe these things, they may be admitted or received with safety. But great care must be taken never to admit to this manner of life anyone who is a heretic or suspected of heresy or a person of bad reputation. Oh, they would say Father Francis is uncharitable like they accuse us of for not allowing people to be even near him or in his order who are heretics, suspected of heresy, or obstinately immoral. There's Father Francis of Assisi teaching you what the Catholic Church has always taught. No timidity there. And don't you dare call that an act of uncharity. It's a great act of charity when you cast out evildoers so the good people can be good and the people who are weak and are trying to be good can become good. You don't make a sinner good by having a room full of obstinate sinners running roughshod over a camp. I'm sorry, that's effeminate, that's not even a pagan will do that in his own company if somebody's not performing their job in IBM or something. And he's not doing the right job, he'll get kicked out too. And it says, and if it should happen that such a one were admitted, he must be denounced as soon as possible to the inquisitors in order that he may be punished for his heresy. How's that, folks? Here's what Father Francis says here on page 54, chapter 2. On those who desire to embrace this life and how they are to be received. If anyone wishes to embrace this life and comes to our brethren, let him send him to their provincial minister, to whom alone and to no others is permission granted to receive the brothers. And let the minister examine him carefully concerning the Catholic faith and the sacraments of the church. And if he believe all these things and will faithfully confess and steadfastly observe them to the end, and moreover, if he have... Okay, there. Then you can receive him. There's Father Francis telling you. He's trying to do everything in his power to keep nominal Catholics out of his order by discovering it ahead of time if they hold heresies. Now, if they're occult heretics and they don't tell the minister, he can't do nothing about that. But I'll tell you, if somebody sneaks in here and holds on to an occult heresy... We had a couple of brothers who I suspected of that. And every time I suspected a brother of holding on to heresy, although he never told me he did... He ended up leaving for other reasons, very not too long. He'd start becoming immoral. He'd start becoming rebellious. You start seeing some really obstinately immoral behavior and rebellion on his part. Then I noticed something seriously wrong. And then eventually, God always let it happen. They start then to profess their heresies. You would start to hear their heresies. You would then find out where their doubts are, and you would catch them. So look at all this that Father Francis is watching out for before he's in communion with anybody. And these people have the nerve to tell us we don't have the right to demand a specific abjuration when it's a dogma that fallen away Catholics have to take a specific abjuration to come back in the church. Or they get angry at us because we tell people who we don't know and they say they're Catholic, I'm sorry, I'm not going to believe you till you give me a profession of the Catholic faith and you reject all these prevalent heresies. It's not enough to go back and get a standard profession of faith. It ain't going to do it, pal. There's a lot of new heresies that are being held today that need to be denounced. I told you people many times, it's amazing. When this abjuration is weeded out from amongst us before we even let them in, people were heretics. And if people who took it came in and fell into heresy, it still weeds them out because they don't maintain when we catch them. These are nominal Catholics. Now we're going to read on page 15 here. Look what Father Francis says on page 15. So all you people who say that we're uncharitable when we kick obstinate sinners out of the camp. Let's see what Father Francis says on page 15 here, near the beginning of the book. He goes like this. I just go to the bottom part right here. Here's what Father Francis says. And as for those who will not observe the rule, I do not look upon them as Catholics, nor my brethren. I will neither see nor speak with them until they have done penance. I say the same to those who wander to and fro and make no account of the ordinances and precepts of the rule. For our Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed his life rather than disobey his heavenly Father. There's Father Francis of Assisi. You know why I use him? He's the one they all use as they lie about him. They make like he's a hippie. And that he has no justice. And that he doesn't condemn anybody or denounce anybody. There is Father Francis of Assisi. That's the true Catholic. Yes, he loves people, but he loves God more. And when you love people, you love their souls first and foremost. And he always says throughout this whole thing, I will not let obstinate sinners come in amongst my children and poison my children. Any more than a natural plane that a pagan may understand, who has five daughters, let a guy come into his house and start raping one daughter after another and not kick that guy out of his house. But lets him rape them all. Rapes of souls are worse than physical rapes. And when you let obstinate sinners stay in the camp, you're an obstinate sinner yourself. You're a reprobate. You're sending all the rest of your kids to hell. And if any of your kids had any goodwill, they're leaving. And then what do you got left in the end? A church full of obstinate, reprobated sinners who are not even really Catholic anymore. Because usually when you end up having such a congregation, the heresies start creeping in also. But it doesn't matter whether you're a heretic or not. Even if you're a bad Catholic and you're obstinate in your mortal sins, you've got to be casted out. We just had people in here that were committing such calumnies and such lies, that anybody who knew us knew they were lies, and these brothers were accusing us of being uncharitable, and it was they who were telling the lies, and it was they who left, and they took their side. And it's like Jesus saying, "What have I lied to you? Am I the one who did what they did? And all those things that they said you know are lies? But you hold on to the lie?" And let's end it by talking about what Francis says about people like that. Any brother who comes in and starts spreading calumny. How dangerous he is. How he has to be casted out. I want to read first of you what happens when people lie about people. And they ruin their reputation. And they do calumny. This is for some of the brothers that went along with these bastards. Do you know what the eighth commandment is? Do you guys know what the eighth commandment is of Almighty God? The eighth commandment is, "I shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor," from the catechism. This is your basic catechism. Question 219. Question 220. What does the eighth commandment forbid? The eighth commandment forbids all false testimony, rash judgment, and lies. And lies. And once we prove to you, and you know that these people are lying, and you still side with them, who are you? Your father is the devil. The father of the lie. Like our Jesus said to those Jews who said that they were true good Jews. "You're not a good Jew," he said. "You're not even a Jew at all in that case. Your father is the devil." I say this to these people that left here. This is the act of, it's the extreme act of uncharity to lie about somebody, to calumniate somebody. And if somebody has done that, it's a mortal sin. Also against the fifth commandment for assassinating their character. And what needs to be done if they really want to be penitent? They can never be forgiven of that sin unless they do this. Question 221. No, we'll go on to that in 222. Let's go on a little bit here. 221. Are calumny and detraction forbidden by the eighth commandment? Calumny and detraction are forbidden by the eighth commandment. And also talebearing. And any words which injure our neighbor's character. Calumny is when you lie. Detraction is when you know about a real sin of a brother, but it's secret and you make it public and you had no reason to make it public. But let's concentrate on calumny, because that's what's went on here. We had such calumny coming out of here by these few people that left. And moved out because they couldn't bear to live the Catholic life. And we all knew they weren't good Catholics anyway. This was just the last straw, so they did us a favor. But my point is, on the way out, they wrote a letter full of lies. Full of lies. And one of the brothers who was sitting on the sideline who knows us was accusing us of being uncharitable. And we said, he says, "I just want to know the truth." Well, guess what, folks? We told him the truth. And I said, "We don't need to tell you the truth, Joe. You know it. We don't need to tell you the truth. You know it. You've been amongst us. You know it." And then we even went on an extra 110 yards to give him more information. Haven't heard from him. So what is it? What is this guy all about? He's a liar. He wants to be with liars. He's effeminate and he's weak. We know it because I know about it. I know we knew he was weak anyway. Now what are you supposed to do if you go out and you've done this against a brother or anybody? It doesn't have to be a brother. You're not allowed to lie about a pagan or a non-Catholic even. Look what you need to do. Question 222, if you have injured your neighbor by speaking ill of him, what are you bound to do? If I have injured my neighbor by speaking ill of him, I am bound to make him satisfaction by restoring his good name as far as I can. That means every one of these people, first of all, that left out here put themselves in schism, number one. So they're in schism. They are not united with Catholics. That's the excommunication alone on schism. So they're outside the church even. Secondly, if they want to be forgiven of the crime of calumny, they have to confess to the people whom they calumniated and admit their guilt and go up and make reparation, or you will never, ever, ever escape mortal sin. Every prayer you're offering now, I know what they're trying to do. It even said, maybe we can listen to Richard's sermons and we could follow his way of life without being with him, because I can't stand to be around him. Because every time they were around us, we would inquire when they're doing something wrong. We would require him to be good Catholics. And they couldn't take it. They didn't love God, quite simply. And they didn't want to be around us. So they think they can live the Catholic life separate from us and be blessed by God. That's a double curse. I don't care if you stay and pray all the same prayers you prayed with us. And you did all your holy readings you did with us. All of that is an abomination to God. It's a sacrilege. It's an abuse. God will not accept any of it. Any of it. Every rosary you pray is damnation. It's disgusting to God. He spits it out of his mouth. It's like I said to one of the brothers when he was listening to hard rock and roll, satanic rock and roll. I said, do me a favor, don't pray the Holy Rosary and listen to that at the same time, because they don't go together. Don't use Holy Mary's name after you're going to go do that. These people think they can leave and pray and be right with God. I tell you, until they make reparation for what they did, they're in deep, eternal damnation. And if they die tomorrow, they're going straight to hell unrepented. And God right now has already got them under a curse and is punishing them. I said to that one guy, was Moses unjust during the schism of Kor? God himself and Moses. When God killed 250 Jews in the schism of Kor. And the next day, because 14,500 Jews sympathized with the ones that went down and murmured against Moses, they were killed by God by fire. Is that an act of uncharitable? God is never uncharitable. Everything God does is merciful and just at the same time. He's always just. He's always merciful. He's all just. He's all merciful. When God kills people, they deserved it. His mercy exists in the fact that he wipes these bastards off the face of the earth so the good people can be good and purify the camp. And we're going to consistently, to the end of the world, till Christ comes the second time, we're always going to have to constantly keep purifying the camp. Father Francis, that's why he set these rules up. He's got another rule in here, and I'll read him one last rule, and then we'll end it on 39. Listen to what he says here about rule on 39. Now, this is on the punishment of fornication. This has to do with his first rule. Chapter 13. If any brother, by the instigation of the devil, commit a sin of the flesh, let him be entirely deprived of the habit which he has defiled by his crime, and let him altogether be expelled from our order, and let him go and do penance for his sins. Here you go. There's a price to pay. When you want to keep a camp pure, you have to kick out obstinate sinners. If somebody is sinning and they're committing mortal sins and they show goodwill, and they're really trying to overcome him, we got no problem with that. And that's the problem we had with some of these people before they fell out. We knew they were bad. I even told a few of them they were in mortal sin. They got angry at me. How do you know? It's obvious. They don't want to listen. And then when they don't listen, and they don't want to become good Catholics because they love the world, they're going to go against you. They're going to hate you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to do what they did against Jesus and Moses. So I tell you, when you come into the true Catholic Church, which is what we are, be prepared for true Catholicism. Not that mamsy, pamsy, effeminate, weak, cowardly, false Catholicism that's out in the world today. That doesn't enforce any... It's not even a matter of enforcing rules anymore. They don't even have rules. You're not even allowed in the first place to condemn anybody or denounce anything, let alone punish them. Alright? So here's Father Francis of Assisi, folks. And he's not the mushy hippie that the world tries to present. They quote some of it's the same thing they do with God. They always quote his other verses when he's being when he's treating other people who are not obstinate sinners, and he's trying to go for the conversion, and they leave out God's justice. They eliminate his justice. They're always talking about God's mercy, but they eliminate his justice. But I will tell you that everything God does is full of justice and mercy. Every little thing he does. All right? Now, okay, I got to finish it with this, because he talks about in here about the calumny, and I think this will end it. 75. All right, now he's talking to the nuns, but it applies to everybody. Here it goes. If it should happen, which God forbid, that any occasion of scandal or trouble should arise between the sisters, let her who was the cause of it immediately, before she offers to God the sacrifice of prayer, don't even pray to God, not only humbly prostrate herself at the feet of the other sister, asking pardon, but let her also earnestly beseech her to intercede for her with our Lord that he may forgive her. What is Francis saying here? If you calumniated a sister or a brother and you lied about them, don't pray because God ain't going to hear you. Don't pray because it's a worthless prayer. It's a prayer to escape sin. Our Lord said that in the scriptures. Before you come to the altar and offer your gift to God, go and make recompense for the sin you've committed. Go to the sister or brother you lied about and tell them you're sorry that I didn't mean it. I was full of envy. I was full of jealousy. I now can see all these sins. It was my own sins that were getting me jealous towards you. Please, sister, forgive me. Pray to God to forgive me. How many times when God punished people that went against holy prophets, that God said, I will not forgive you unless you go before that holy prophet and beg his forgiveness to intercede before God for you, or I will kill you and send you to hell. Francis is saying this right here. Don't even pray. Go make reparation for your filthy lies. Character assassination, lies about people. This, I'm just trying to tell you people how serious calumny is and detraction and lies. Now, if you made a mistake and you really didn't believe something, you still got to make reparation because you went along with something without investigating. But these people think they can run out, hold on to their lies, and not make reparation for it and continue to do Catholic things and still be acceptable to God. I'm telling you, can't. Jesus said it. Father Francis is only imitating Christ as he perfectly did his whole life. And he says in the end here too in this, if she will not listen, kick her out because she's going to destroy the whole place. She's going to destroy the whole place. And that has to do with one of their big complaints that Ibrani has, people doing public confessions. Yes, that's part of the Catholic Church's teaching. When you commit a public sin, it needs to be publicly confessed to make reparation or you cannot be forgiven. Sorry, pal, that's part of the Catholic teachings. That's what we call one of the guys in heresy. Because now, we actually, in their letter, they actually started professing heresies. And we caught them on several heresies. So there you go. All right? Catholicism is something that's not just to be preached, it's to be lived in word and in deed. We live the life and we work out our salvation like St. Paul said in Philippians 2:12, in fear and trembling. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Oh, what do the nominal Catholics say today? They say along with Martin Luther, the arch-heretic, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I don't got to fear. I don't got to tremble. I don't got to work at being Catholic. I don't got to denounce anybody. I don't got to condemn anybody. I don't got to admonish anybody. I don't got to do penance for my sins. I don't got to obey God's commandments. I don't have to examine my conscience every day to make sure I haven't committed sins of thought or in mind or in deed. I don't got to offer up my life for Christ. I don't got to profess the faith when I'm bound to do it or else I deny it. I don't got to do none of these things. Oh, and Ibrani's telling me I got to do all these things. Yes, I am, because it's God who tells you. It's Jesus who tells you. It's the apostles who tell you. It's all the church fathers who tell you. It's all the true saints who tell you. Not these modern bastards that gave up the spirit of martyrdom. All right, so that's the end of the sermon for now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.